In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our sorrow.
It is the Sunday of the cross in the Orthodox Church, a marker given to us at the midpoint of Lent, a plus sign. The cross is a plus sign, a positive symbol. Brothers and sisters, you may or may not be aware that the Orthodox Church has a different teaching about the cross than the one which predominates in the Western denominations. And it reflects a different vision of God. The Western idea of the cross diverged from Orthodoxy just after the papal schism, with the 11th century writings of Anselm of Canterbury. Just as Augustine's more negative view of human nature had predominated in Western thought from the 5th century, so did Anselm's more negative view of the cross take hold from his time in the 11th century. Anselm taught the satisfaction theory of the atonement. Anselm's idea is that God the Father is angry. He is angry. He is full of wrath. He is full of wrath at man's sin, and his wrath must be calmed, must be satisfied. And God's wrath is infinite and insatiable, and it takes an infinite sacrifice to propitiate, to appease, and satisfy his anger. And that satisfaction can only be achieved, could only be met by the Son of God becoming man and being sacrificed on the cross. And the Father is satisfied with hurting and torturing his Son. And this is why we see Western depictions of Christ in agony on the cross and bloodied, somehow a fulfillment of God's will. In this notion, it is God who must be reconciled to man. It is God who is alienated by man's sin. Only the suffering and death of the Son of God can meet and pay the debt of our sins. The Orthodox Fathers of the East did not know this teaching and did not teach it. The Orthodox vision of the cross, as expressed by Metropolitan Jonah, who speaks the words of the Father, of the Fathers, he says, Christ's sufferings and death show that God in Christ truly accepted our human nature and all its brokenness in order to heal it by the resurrection. And we enter into that healing of our nature and into a deeper communion with God the Father through the cross and through our acceptance of Christ's cross and our own cross, as our Lord expresses in this morning's gospel, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And by the way, the Protestant Reformation, while casting out and rejecting many essential teachings of the Apostolic Church, such as Holy Communion and Holy Icons, nonetheless embraced Anselm's dark vision of an angry God and even took it a step further. In the 15th century, John Calvin took Anselm's concept and added to it the idea of the cross as punishment. Of the cross as punishment, that we were to be punished for our sins, and God punishes Christ instead. Christ endured punishment for the sins of all mankind in order to appease the wrath of God the Father, and thus made satisfaction of the debt humanity owed to God. Christ suffered the punishment of God's cumulative wrath against man's sin so that we don't have to suffer that punishment. He suffered in our place. So to Anselm's satisfaction theory is added the Protestant's substitution theory of punishment. And this is what you'll find preached in many of the denominations and on TV and in radio, by TV and radio preachers, this dark, ugly vision of God. A God who wants to hurt and kill us and hurts and kills His Son instead. And yes, it's for our sake, but it's still a dark, dangerous God. And this is the vision of a God that almost understandably millions in the West have rejected, denying a false God, perhaps to their credit. If God does that to His Son, one might say, what might He do unto me? Where is the loving God? Where is John 3:16? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. Now many of the denominations, some of them have moved away from that satisfaction theory that they inherited to emphasize more the love of God, but then they often go too far in denying the fundamental truths, doctrines, and Christian morality in the name of that love. Orthodoxy never lost the vision of God's love and also maintains itself in the truth, or rather God maintained it in the original doctrines, the original teachings of the apostolic faith, holding love and truth together in harmony. Orthodoxy teaches that Christ on the cross assumed our suffering, our pain, and our death out of love. Out of love. Out of love for us to abolish death and make all things new. By death He overcame the power of sin, and by His obedience overcame sin itself. It's a positive vision. The idea of satisfaction and punishment are not found in Orthodox teaching, nor in the ancient church of the first millennium before Anselm. The cross, brothers and sisters, is ever for the church a vision of love, of sacrifice, yes, but self-sacrificial love for us and for our salvation. Due to the fall, we sin, we suffer, we are oppressed by the devil, and we experience death. So God's loving response is to send His beloved Son, who will voluntarily offer Himself and suffer for us, take our sins upon Himself, defeat the power of the devil, and transform death into Pascha, into a Passover from life to life. The cross is indeed in Orthodoxy a positive sign. A sign of healing. A sign of the healing of our very nature broken by the fall. Of the reuniting of God and man in Christ on the cross. And we affirm that Christ suffered and died to show us how ourselves, for us to know how to endure suffering. And to give meaning to our own suffering and death. He accepted the cross so that we might be able to bear our cross. To bear our cross in a fallen and broken and sinful world which is infected with evil. He reveals to us, does Jesus, a loving Father, prepared to do what's necessary for our union with Him, to repair and close the breach. The cross was what was necessary to overcome our condition and to heal our infirmities. As the prophet Isaiah proclaimed 1,000 years before Christ came, by His stripes we are healed. We are healed. As our epistle from Hebrews affirms, we have a great high priest in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both the one who offers, but is Himself the perfect offering, and who is Himself the perfect offering for sin. There is a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice of love. Not of to calm anger, not of wrath, nor anger, nor punishment. That is not our God. That is not the God who was proclaimed in the original church. It is not the God that the Orthodox Church proclaims today. We heard in this morning's epistle, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ knows us. He knows our condition. He has walked in our shoes, literally. He has taken on our nature, has taken on our condition, our trouble. And there is a sacrificial offering by Christ on the cross, but it is a sacrifice of love, not of wrath, nor anger, nor punishment. As we sang last night, wishing to restore all men to life, thou dost accept crucifixion, O Christ our God, burning with boundless love for man. Thou didst take the quill of the cross in thy hand and dipping it in the ink of royal crimson. Thou didst sign our release with blood-stained fingers. We also heard, and it is a reminder of the teaching aspect of worship, which is intended to be given us at Vespers and at Matins, which is why those services have such value. We don't have to read anything about the faith. We come to those services and listen and hear the truth of our faith proclaimed in song. Again, we heard last night, the cross is the might of the church, through which corruption is abolished, through which the power of death is crushed. The cross raises us from earth to heaven. The cross is the enemy of Satan. The cross is the glory of the martyrs. The cross is the haven of salvation and grants the world great mercy. Great mercy. Brothers and sisters, the cross indeed is a sign and symbol of mercy. So the cross we take up is a cross of mercy. The cross we take up to follow Christ is a cross of mercy and of love and of forgiveness and of patience and of long-suffering and endurance in a fallen and alien world. And it is the cross of our own pain and suffering with ourselves, as sometimes our own worst enemy, with our own weaknesses and sins and passions. The cross is a cross of healing, and it is our way to healing. Let us embrace it, let us venerate it, let us honor it with joy and love and hope in our God who loves us, gave His Son for us, and who conquered sin and death and the devil for us on His cross, showing forth the true love of God, the true icon of our Lord and God and Savior, the God who wants to give Himself to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.